reaction I've gotten from this audience, these milling thousands listening to me whenever I'm on FM, MFO, Cleo Lane, the great British performer, arguably the greatest pop singer technically that ever lived. And her scat singing is unparalleled, and her arrangements are absolutely wonderful. I thought I'd go along the same line, but with other performers, to hear what they could do, not only musically, but physically. What you're going to hear now is a highly imaginative recording made in 1978. The great singer Sarah Vaughan. And she has, as accompanist, not a band, not an orchestra, but one instrument, the drums. You're going to hear something you'll rarely hear. You're going to hear a pop tune, My Lover Has Gone. And it's performed by two performers, one of whom, of course, is Sarah Vaughan. The other is one of the great drummers of his time, Louis Belson. Belson really smashed the color line around the time that Benny Goodman was doing the same thing by bringing blacks into his band. And he married Pearl Bailey, well, the great gospel and blues singer. And they lived happily forever after. So I'm not sure what that means.
It means you're listening to WMFO.
Oh,
Medford.
Okay. There it is.
We planned this.
I reminded Mike and I forgot, so there it is. You just have heard where you're at. Going on with this performance, the work of duel between these two people absolutely mesmerizes. Listening to the technique of the drummer and the technique of the singer, and how they do with one another. This is an amazing piece of music, and the combination is something like the likes of which you'll never hear again. Here is My Lover Is Gone, 1978, Sarah Vaughan and Louis Belson.
Starlit skies when you're alone. The magic moonlight dies at break of dawn. There is no sunrise when your lover has gone. What lonely hours the evening shadows bring. What lonely hours with memories lingering like faded flowers. Life can't mean anything when your lover has gone. When your lover has gone, when you're alone, who cares for starlit skies? When you're alone, magic moonlight dies at break of dawn. There is no sunrise when your lover has gone. What lonely hours the evening shadows bring. What lonely hours with memories lingering like faded flowers. Life can't mean anything when your lover, when your lover, when your lover has gone. Lover, when your lover has gone. Wabba-do-wee.
How about that for sensationalism? It is such a unique performance. If one really listens to it, you'll hear at times, because of the equality of importance, both instruments, and they are both truly instruments, evoke, is the fact that at times she accompanies the drummer who has a solo. I mean, what a sense of conceptualization in music. And how filled is the atmosphere when you hear just two instruments, when they are both really fulfilling the obligations harmonically as well, but with one note at a time. It's absolutely amazing. So, I mean, talk about imagination. And the question is beguiling. Was every bit of it written out? Because it sounded so well rehearsed. And yet totally improvisational. So it's a spectacularly interesting recording, unique recording. Another one is this. Oh, by the way, these performers, Sarah Vaughan and Louis Belson, and the guitarist you're about to hear, were both born in the 20s. So with these recordings made in the 70s, you could have an idea where they were. The next one is not also in the 70s, 1979. So many guitarists in the pop field, arguably the guitarist you're about to hear cannot be surpassed in technique. His name was Joe Pass, P-A-S-S. He did a lot of recordings with Ella Fitzgerald, by the way. I've got a video of Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass sitting on two folding chairs facing each other in Chicago and playing and looking into each other's eyes as if to say, I love you. You ought to see that. Look it up and see if you can find it. Ella Fitzgerald in Chicago, and see if Joe Pass shows up too. Joe Pass plays guitar along with a string bass player. You're going to hear again nothing but two performers. The string bass player is Neil Henning Pedersen, one of the, he was Danish, and arguably as great a bassist as you'll ever hear. Now, the technique heard is four-finger technique on the bass. He's not using the bow, and he's articulating at incredible speed the melody. And at times, and by the way, listen from the very beginning. At the very beginning, you're going to hear the tune. The tune is called Oreo. Yes, it's a sweet young thing called Oreo. And you're going to hear the tune, and this is amazing. At the same speed, the guitar and the string bass player, and he's doing it note for note on the string bass, are playing the same note in unison. So it sounds like a different instrument. It's a combination of nothing but guitar and bass just for a few seconds. At incredible speed, the technique is beyond description. And listen to this incredible performance. All right. Thank you. I doubt if you're going to find any greater playing. See, this whole quest today on my part, although I'm dealing with music, to make music is one thing, to play the notes is another thing. But when you can combine the way of playing notes at such a level and making music come out of it, is very special, and you're not going to hear it very often. And these combinations, such as two instruments at a time and nothing more, filling your whole world with ideas, pretty interesting investigation into the possibilities that the human being can attain. What you're going to hear now, I will preface for a moment by bringing up the name Art Tatum. We've done him before. I bring him up only based upon one simple question, and this question is brought up even by some of the greatest pianists of all time in the classical field. Is it possible that Art Tatum, a man with 8% vision, who never really saw the instrument he played, with the imagery of creating patterns out of the chords and the pop music that he played, like no other pianist, is he technically the greatest player of the piano that has ever lived or that we know about? Is something that we can never answer. Some will say no, some will say yes, because, you know, greatness always creates controversy. But he was such a power as a pianist that he rarely, comparatively rarely, if you will, played with groups, because he was so powerful, he would sort of overpower the group, even among the great performers in his groups. But there are some recordings that show that Tatum was able to suppress his technology just enough to merge into the trio or quartet he played with. What a great musician he was. He did this all innately. I mean, here's a man who dropped out of his 10th grade and received almost no education at all in anything, including music. What you're going to hear is a relatively rare recording. You're going to hear two tunes. I'll tell you one at a time what goes on. Your first one is Making Whoopee, 1955. The two performers with him are Buddy Rich, as great a drummer as ever lived, and, of course, the irrepressible Lionel Hampton, who did a heck of a job on the vibes. Now, at times, Tatum creates such a background in exhorting these people to reach to his level without saying anything. There's no trace of ego here at all. That I'll tell you exactly what both of these men said years after this recording. At times you're going to hear Lionel Hampton so excited at what he himself was doing, he would yell. You'll hear him yell and snarl and gasp every once in a while. At different times after Tatum's death, in different places, each person, Buddy Rich and Lionel Hampton, said precisely the same thing, independent of one another, years apart. Art Tatum, in this recording, made us play so well that we played better than we have ever played before or since, because he exhorted us to a greatness that we never even attempted to find before or after. Listen to Making Whoopee and see what you think. Thank you. I doubt if you're going to find a better example of what I would call frenetic control. I mean, they are so excited at what they are finding in that piece because of the driving force behind Tatum, coupled with her own great techniques, that it's discovery time. And this is what a jam session really is all about, to investigate the possibilities. And this is certainly a possibility aspect at the highest possible level. It reminds me of something that in the 19th century, the most powerful romantic composer, not the best, but the most powerful, because he was not only a great intellect, but probably the greatest pianist of his time, and a great composer, and a great conductor, and a great teacher, and that was Franz Liszt. And he said, and this is why I think of Art Tatum behind Lionel Hampton and Buddy Rich as a power which exhorted him to higher levels. Liszt said that at all times when I walk down a road and I look over my left shoulder to see what that giant shadow is looming behind me, it's the spirit and power of Beethoven. So it's the same kind of thing, some power that's greater than they are themselves. So I'd like you to hear one more performance by this group. It was called the Tatum Trio. I guess they lasted for about 12 seconds and then disappeared into history. They just sat down and did one session. Now, again, keep in mind that both the performers on the drum and, of course, on the vibes said the same thing, that we went on to better things than we ever had anticipated. It's electrification. When I Am an American Day took place during the war in 1943, Horvitz and Toscanini got together. This was an occasion just like with Tatum and the two, in that they all got together and said, we will only make a concert occur by raising money for war bonds. And in one day, in 1943, think of what this means, $19 million were collected in war bonds in 1943. What would $19 million be worth today? Now, Toscanini and Horvitz were so electrified at the occasion, along with the audience, which was electrified, the piece they played better than they ever played before, and they said the same thing. So I thought I'd give you this historical concept. Now, the last piece you're going to hear is Hallelujah, and listen to these three play. Thank you. There you have it. Pyrotechnique, all wrapped up in one little bunch. Thank you for listening.
That was fantastic. I just want to say about the last two of those that really were kind of like jam sessions.
They were jam sessions.
And the recording was such that you felt like you're in the room.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, it just had that quality. It was great. Just,
you know, see, you're drawn in by this sort of thing.
It's
lightning striking once, that's all.
8% vision on our
table? 8% vision.
Mm.
You know, there's one story, very quickly. Mm. A doctor said that we have enough technique to bring back some of your vision. They operated on him, and it did not work. Because it worked, he, at looking at the piano, became so messed up, he had to close his eyes to play. Mm. And that was for the rest of his life.
And how old was he?
He was in his 50s when he passed away.
Oh, wow.
Alcohol took him.
Oh, wow.
I will someday, if you'd like, Mike, bring in recordings taken from a wire recorder when he was going from one bar to another, experimenting on pianos out of tune, even notes that were not there and that he improvised around the silence on these pianos. If you'd like to hear that, I'll do it.
Sure, that'd be great. Next time.
Anytime you want.
Okay.
Thank you.
How about Tuesday?
How about yesterday?
Thanks, Les. All right, Mike on the mic here, 10:30 in the morning at WMF. Whoa.
Good one.
Yeah.
Bottom of the hour.
Yeah, that's right. And it's time for Mark Hurwitz. You have some, I think you might have some reviews and some updates, and also a set of five songs, too.
Yeah. I'll go quick because I know we're starting to run out of time. We have some requests to do.
Okay.
A couple of news stories and a couple of reviews. The news stories are not all good. First of all, Ryle's Jazz Club, which a lot of people know about, been in Inman Square forever, they're closing. So another music club is saying goodbye.
Yeah, many, you know, big changeover, you know, over the past couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're getting some new ones, too. So.
We are getting new ones, yeah, like the Sinclair. That must have been the wind. I think that was the wind.
No, I don't think it was.
The Sinclair has opened and a few others. And Atwood's has taken over as one of the, you know, the really great music clubs in the Boston area. It always was great, but now people are discovering it more and more. But yeah, Ryle's Jazz Club is shutting down, and it's too bad. It's been there a long time. So a familiar name is coming back, though. Remember Faces on Route 2, the disco?
Yeah, and it was in disrepair forever.
Yeah. Well, Faces is coming back as a brew pub in Malden, and I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow. Same family.
Yeah, Martinetti family. They part of the family owns Martinetti Liquor, and part of the family used to own Lanes and Games and Faces.
Oh,
so
cool.
There's going to be a brew pub in Malden. Malden's booming now.
Yeah.
And
of course, because I moved.
Yeah, the minute you left, it started getting cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why that happened. And finally, this is a very weird story. One of the first vegan beer halls in America is coming to Quincy. They claim to be the first plant-based beer hall in America, and I found out that they might not be the first. But anyways, what is a vegan beer hall, you ask?
Yeah, right. Plant-based beer. What is that?
Well, they're going to have food there, and it's all going to be vegan food. Mm-hmm. And the beers they have will not have any animal products. Some beers have animal products.
Huh.
Like Guinness used to have, I think it was a fish bladder that they used to filter the beer, something like that. Some of the stouts they use that. Mm. Anyways, a vegan beer hall is coming to Quincy, so I'm sure some of you are interested in that. I mean, beer, so, you know. Mm, a couple quick reviews. Pagliuca's in the North End, which is an old school Italian restaurant. Checked it out a few weeks ago, and, you know, eggplant parm, chicken parm, lasagna. Just really great place if you're into old school Italian. And finally, Aladdin's Grill, which we don't have enough Middle Eastern restaurants in the Boston area. Aladdin's Grill in Revere, it's Moroccan, mostly Moroccan food. And, you know, different takes on falafel and hummus and baba ganoush and just everything that you would expect from a Middle Eastern place.
Revere is also a great place for ethnic food.
There are so many great restaurants in Revere, and people do not realize that.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a great place to go for Middle Eastern or Thai. Or, I mean, a lot of really Italian, of course. Pizza.
And Spanish food.
Spanish. Yeah, a lot of Spanish restaurants, yeah.
Yep.
So that's about it. I guess we'll get into music now.
If we have, sure.
Yeah, hey, we can do that.
I was just getting really hungry, too.
Well, I think we're going to take care of that later, right?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
We will. So, yeah, you've got a 5-song set. I'll ask you the same thing I ask everybody. So, like, do you want to just play them and we'll talk about them
after?
Yeah,
we'll talk about them afterward. Yeah.
Okay. The first track you guys will recognize for sure. This is a great set, Mark. Really good stuff. 5 songs coming up from Mark Hurwitz at WMFO, Medford.
Spread down in the body, gold mine. Need all the doctor fish with the ears. Don't
WMF, whoa. 10:50 in the morning.
Whoa.
All right, that was a five-song set from Mark. You want to talk about some of those one at a time?
Sure.
We started off with the wonderful Lucinda Williams.
Oh, the great Lucinda Williams, yeah. From Lake Charles, Louisiana. He just, in the music, you hear, yeah, her music, it sounds like Louisiana. You know, there's no other way to describe it. Just great southern music with a little bit of...
fearless.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, her just approach is just great.
Yeah. I mean, if you go on YouTube and you just watch some of her live videos from way back when, she's just incredible.
Yeah, I've seen her a couple of times at the Newport Folk
Festival. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And she's just she's powerful.
She is. Her lyrics are really incredible.
Yeah. And Damian Marley was after that. Were you going to say something else?
Damian Marley with Stephen Marley. Actually, they're both sons of the great Bob Marley. And they sound a little like him.
Mm-hmm. But that was not reggae.
That was not reggae. You know, people were like, okay, that was reggae, right? Or maybe ska. No, it wasn't. It's a genre that's kind of between, it bridges ska and reggae. It's called rock steady. It's kind of a dance music from the 60s, mid to late 60s, that Toots and the Maytals did. So it's a little like ska, but it had that 60s soul and a little bit of jazz going on. And all the Marley kids are so talented. You know, Damien has so much great music, and so does Stephen and Ziggy. So after that was Guided by Voices. I know one of your favorite bands.
Yeah, it is.
Group from Ohio, power pop, just really catchy hooks, and that was called Motor Away. And they had a lot of short songs, which is great, especially when you're coming up against the end of the show. after that was Tommy Keane, who unfortunately passed away
recently,
about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And he really helped create power pop. You know, he did a lot of what Dave Edmunds and Nick Lowe were doing, and then the Replacements heard this guy, and I mean, they were influenced by Tommy Keane so much.
But the public at large, for some reason, he remained anonymous.
No one really knew who he was. Yeah. That was Deep Six Saturday, by the way, which is a terrific song, but you'll never hear it on the radio. Oh. Well, except here.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up with a song that just makes you want to grab a bottle of whiskey or two bottles or three bottles of whiskey.
Or moonshine.
Yeah. It was Sin City by the Flying Burrito Brothers from, I think, 69 or 70 maybe. And that is the great Graham Parsons heading up that band just before he left. And there are so many stories about Graham Parsons, we don't have time to talk about them. Mm-mm. But all I'm going to say is he was so insane that he was hanging out with the Rolling Stones during the Exile on Main Street when they were in France. They couldn't come back to America or England. Yeah. And Keith Richards and Mick Jagger were like, this guy's crazy. Yeah. Think about that.
That's perspective.
Yeah, there. And he died at 28. So there you go. But what a talent.
All right, thanks, Mark. Those are five great tracks.
Thank you.
Okay, for the last 7 or so minutes, this is Mike on the mic. I want to play 3 requests that we had at the beginning of the show. One is from Dave Riley. One is from Bob the Bass Player, as I call him, from the Cast Irons, and Tom Ruprecht. All in order, starting with Dave's request for Liz Bills. This came out just at the tail end of last year. It's called Werewolf, WMFO.
Yeah, I'm in love with you. For a little while, I'm a little too late in the body major wild. We ran with the tides, we didn't notice, but the moon was like a knife. And we cut to make a ghost with the black hair blowing in the wind. You think you saw her standing there, but your eyes are playing tricks again. Something's happening when I sleep. When I wake, I have dirty feet. My throat is so sore from screaming. Must be these bad dreams I'm dreaming. Must be just a dream. But there's bones in my teeth. Something's happening when I sleep. And I know it ain't a dream. A dream. So sore from screaming. Must be these bad dreams I'm dreaming. Must be just a dream. But there's bones in my teeth. Something's happening when I sleep, and I know it ain't a dream. A dream, yeah, a dream. A dream, yeah. I packed my things to go. Maybe I will find a lover down below. But until then, you can find me roaming the tracks for many miles. Just be careful, baby, the fighting may be wild.